Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Welcome to the Cookbook Circle podcast. I'm Hannah.
And I'm Victoria.
We're two friends with a shared love of food, cooking, and all things cookbooks.
We are now in the third season of this podcast. Ooh. And this one is all about, well, not really anything in particular. We are themeless. So you can expect deep dives on certain dishes, reviews of cookbooks, of course, but there'll be new cookbooks, old cookbooks, all sorts of cookbooks. And of course, we'll be asking you, our lovely listeners, for some input on episodes that we're going to do.
It's going to be so
fun. It's going to be so fun.
And if you love what we do, we're also on Patreon. This means if you'd like to support us, your subscription will help to cover the podcast's costs, from the books themselves to the ingredients for what we cook. And in return, you'll get some fun stuff like bonus mini-sodes. To find out more, visit our website, thecookbookcircle.com, or you can find the link in our show notes. Thanks, friends. Now, let's get to the fun part. Hello, Victoria.
Hello, Hannah.
How are you doing?
I'm good. Would you like a weather update?
Oh, yes, please.
So it's October.
Yeah.
As you're probably aware. And it's currently, where I am, 21 degrees.
Wow.
It's incredibly hot and sunny. Incredibly hot. I mean, that is pure hyperbole. For October, it is incredibly hot, and that feels lovely, but also, you know, there's an underlying sinister vibe to that.
Yeah.
Which we won't, maybe we shouldn't explore, but that is the weather update.
We're a lighthearted podcast, you know. We try to, you know, take people away from the horrendous news agenda.
Yeah, there's plenty of that.
And into our horrendous brains.
You had a birthday recently.
I did have a birthday.
Happy birthday to you.
Thank you. They come but once a year. It's my birthday year. Yes, I had a lovely day of eating to celebrate on Friday. I took the day off work, went to Popham's Bakery in North London, went to Dusty Knuckle, got a big old sandwich. And then went to Theo's Pizzeria on Saturday. Did not get the tiramisu because there was no time and the staff were being horrendously slow. But that is actually the only tiramisu that I've ever really liked. So I was a bit sad not to get it. But yeah.
Don't they have like a... they don't host, but they often win like the best tiramisu in the country, right?
Yeah, because it's
I feel
great.
Like they've done... Yeah.
It's not too sweet. It's not too coffee. It's just really good. We're here again in your ears to talk about another classic recipe. Ultimate classic.
It is an ultimate classic. Well, I don't know if it is.
What?
When we're talking about one dish,
you know.
It's not.
You need some conviction.
Who am I to decide what is ultimate and what is classic? No, we are here to decide if it's ultimate.
Okay.
But I cannot decide if it's classic. Who do you think I am? Coco Chanel?
The way you said that with such difficulty would lead me to say, no, I don't think you are. Coco. Okay. Well, it's, you know, it's a popular recipe.
It's a popular dish.
Popular dish, yes. We'll talk about the popular recipes and which ones we like most.
So we're off to a good start.
Really good, yeah. Well, we've previously done ultimate chocolate chip cookies. Nick is laughing at me, and I don't know why. I genuinely don't know why.
I'm not laughing at you. I'm just laughing. I'm giddy.
Giddy up, girl. we did the ultimate chocolate chip cookies, wow. And people liked that. Did we do another ultimate as well?
We did veggie burgers.
Oh, we're really just like...
Hannah is incredibly engaged in this podcast.
I just have the worst memory ever. And this season is, it feels like, has been going
forever. Wow. More proof for everyone's pudding. Only tiramisu from Theo's is the pudding that Hannah wants the proof of.
Oh, I love the podcast very much. It just felt like a while since we did the veggie burgers one and the cookies. So we thought another fun one to do would be pancakes.
Hotcakes, some people call them, I believe.
Yes, and they're the same because there's like those ricotta hotcakes from Granger and Co. It's just a pancake, right? Ooh.
Yeah.
That was one of the suggestions, actually. that was one of the suggestions from one of our lovely followers. Were those?
Ricotta. Are you going to start beatboxing?
Oh, that's apparently, apparently not. That was just me researching.
Beep, boop, 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 boop.
Yeah, it's more R2-D2 than the solid crew.
It's our attempt at AI.
The ricotta hotcakes with honeycomb and butter from Bill Granger. Dick is just laughing at me and I don't know why.
I just registered that I said beatboxing and you chose to say I'm more R2-D2 than so solid crew. Like, they are the epitome of beatboxers, which I love that they came.
I thought I'd gotten away with that, you know. I was like, wow, she didn't pick up on that at all.
I took a moment to process it.
Who would you choose as a beatboxer?
I don't know.
Beatboxing example.
I love that, you know, so solid crew reference. 21 seconds.
Do you know why it's 21 seconds in that song?
No. Oh, no, you tell me.
It was that they looked at like what the average song length was for getting played on the radio or something. It was like 3 minutes and a half or something. And then they divided that by the number of members in So Solid Crew and got 21 seconds. So then it was, that's how they did it. It was just good old fashioned math.
They don't make them like that anymore.
No, they don't. I always said math needs to be a key component in the music that I listen to. Anyway.
That is, I think, actually what Rishi Sunak said in his speech recently. He's getting Romeo in.
I wish he would.
Talk about maths. I know. I wonder what he's doing now.
Is he? Apart from ruining the country.
No, Romeo.
Oh, he's only making the country better. Pancakes.
With his beatbox. Pancakes. Hotcakes. And we are talking about American style, big fluffy boys.
And then we'll talk about thick the pancakes. Boys.
Who's your favourite thick, fluffy American boy?
I don't know. I can't come up with a witty answer. I feel like a football player would be a good person to put in here, but yeah. I'm no Taylor Swift, so
yeah. Let's all just say Travis Kelce, and then because that's a name that we know based on Taylor Swift. Thanks, Tay Tay.
Yes, love thick American fluffy boys. Why do you? Are you a pancake? Are you a pancake maker?
Yes. Okay. Well, yes, yes. I like a pancake. I think they're a lovely. If I've got people round for breakfast, which is not very often, if they've stayed over, whatever, I feel like pancakes are a good, impressive, big fluffy American boys are impressive. And everyone likes it. And you just have all the toppings out.
Yeah.
And people can just pick what they want.
Yeah, it's true. What would your ideal toppings be? Are you a bacon gal?
So I... Pardon?
Are you a bacon gal?
I am not a bacon gal. I am not a heat and... Not heat and sweet. I am not a meat and sweet person.
Gotcha.
In life.
Right.
I am meaty and I'm sweety. But I do not mix.
Never the twain shall meet.
Yeah. So I am. I just like a fruit often, like a fruity compote or something, or like a jam, or obviously a peanut butter and banana.
Yeah, my problem with the peanut butter is it's too claggy, right? So you need something like saucier in there.
Maple syrup
and peanut butter and banana. A lot. Oh, interesting.
Don't at me.
I
think you're right about it, because I think sometimes your pancake can be a bit dry and claggy as well, if you're not, and then so you've got peanut butter and that, and also here's my other thoughts about big fluffy American boys. I want the topping on every pancake. Don't give me a stack and just put shit on the top.
Yes. Okay. I think actually we do have similar opinions on this, but I think I've just maybe given up too early on the pancake.
Okay.
I've never...
Tell me your opinions.
I just don't think it's too much cake, not enough topping. Too much like you need more stuff going on there. I've always said that it's a bit harder for veggies, because I just love to, you know, play the woe is me card. But I always think that like bacon and maple syrup looks good. It's also like texturally, because it's the crispy bacon, blah, blah, blah. So I've always had like yogurt and berries and maple syrup or whatever, but it's just never really floated my boat. But actually, the way you're talking, I think maybe, yes, I should abort the stack, and I should... try some maple syrup and peanut butter and banana, because I think I'd be okay with that.
Treat it more like a sandwich.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Like a club sandwich.
Yeah. Layers. Yeah.
Yeah. I think so. I think that one of my favorite places to go in America, because I'm basic, is IHOP. Yeah.
It is. And I
love it. I cannot believe we don't have it in this country. I love it so much. And every time we're in the States, I make whoever I'm with take me there, even though I think that people are often a bit embarrassed. But
really? That's sad.
It's good shit. Anyway, they have this like, they have the syrups on there on the table, right? So you can just use as much as you want, and it's like endless coffee, endless syrups, and like breakfasts that are like made for like six people just for one person, and it's like $5. But anyway, their blueberry syrup, amazing. Because then you can like, you can use as much as you want. You can put a bit on the top. You can then put a bit on every little bite.
Yeah, that's what you need. Yeah, I think maybe I've just been getting the topping to pancake ratio all wrong. Fun fact, actually, I watched my Instagram algorithm likes to serve me lots of rescue dog content, because it makes me cry, and I love it. It's always like happy rescue dog content. And there was a little one on there recently who didn't have his front legs, and his name was IHOP. I just put my hand in my mouth and chose that. But it is adorable.
That's cute. Did he have little wheels? Or something?
I didn't actually watch the whole thing. I just saw the still at the start. But he looked very happy. I happy IHOP.
How do you feel about ice cream and like chocolate, Nutella, that vibe on a pancake?
Again, I just think Nutella can make it all a bit claggy. So I think, yeah, it would need to have something else on there. But I think this just comes down to me not loving loads of sweet stuff.
Yeah. I'm the same. I would never, you know, like when you see pancakes on a menu, they're often a bit like freak shaky, aren't they?
Yeah.
Like they've got everything on them. And I don't want that. They're like red velvet flavored and...
Yeah.
You know, there's ice cream and sprinkles and chocolate and I think Nutella and Biscoff are the bane of my lives.
Yes.
My lives.
Your lives. such a Buddhist sentiment. what were some of our listeners' favourite toppings?
Yeah, so we asked you lovely people on Instagram what your favourite toppings were. And the standard ones came out a lot. So big, lots of votes for just syrup on its own, syrup and fruit.
Butter and syrup.
Load of votes, butter and syrup, yeah. A couple of people with just butter, peanut butter, meat and sweet. Some people saying bacon, some people saying sausage, and then like a syrup.
I did not know that.
I know. No, nor me. I've never, but that's just not my vibe, so I wouldn't choose it. And then somebody said like yogurt, peanut butter, and very ripe peaches.
I like that.
And that sounds delicious.
Yeah, I think that's the winner for me.
And I wonder if they meant that all together, but I hope so, because it sounds great.
I assume so. Someone also said almond butter, honey, and sweet yogurt, which sounds great.
Yeah. Someone else said something in ricotta, and I was like, yeah.
Yeah, ricotta, honey. Yeah, these are good shouts. I think, I think there's more work to be done.
We also asked whether people preferred, like, big fluffy American boys, like we're talking about today, or, like, crepe-style ones. And I was worried in the beginning, because I'm a big fluffy boy fan, and you prefer crepes, right?
Nice additional fan at the end. I'm a big fluffy boy. Yes. I mean, if I had to pick, I would pick the... I don't know. I'm not a big pancake person. But, you know, we can get into that later. This can be my redemption episode.
But it ended up exactly 50-50, like exactly straight down the middle.
Just like Lamar always wanted. Right about that. 50. This is like the shit, like small British acts, like throwback.
I know.
Episode. Whilst we're on crepes, though, I do, on pancake day, I would have a crepe with lemon and sugar, I think.
Right.
That's my thing. But would you have a big American fluffy boy on pancake day?
Yeah. I would. I think
that's not what Jesus would have wanted, by the way.
I don't think it was Jesus actually who was. I think it was Moses, wasn't it? I think it was Moses and the Jews that needed to eat their stuff to. Well, we have pancakes.
Yeah,
isn't it?
I did. I was taking the
food. Oh no, because obviously, like you know, Lent. But I believe that the whole pancake thing is a. Like the Jews leaving to go into exile. And I feel like we definitely need to take this out because I've got no idea.
That was really fun here. Yes, okay, so you would have an American boy. Fine, okay, fine.
But I put on the savory side, I do like a crepe, like a... You know, like a French style buckwheat.
Do you? With ham and cheese or something? What would you... No cheese. What would you get in there?
Yeah, cheese. Oh, like a mild one, ham, cheese. I had a great... Last time I was in Paris, back, you know, in the before times. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was a place that you told me about or our French colleague also gave me a list of places. And I had the best a crepe that I've thought about ever since. And it was like mushrooms and cheese. And it was just like bang on, you know, all those.
All the things.
All the things.
Interesting. I don't think that was me because I didn't really eat many pancakes when I was in Paris.
I believe the French call them crepes.
I could not do a crepe.
Did you learn to make crepes at school?
No.
Like at Catholic school, I mean. For Lent.
Pastry school. No, we didn't. Crepes was not on the list. One time we did, someone made crepe Suzette in a demo, I think, but we never actually did the recipe. Yeah.
I just watched the episode last night, actually, by the way, of The Bear, where they go to culinary school. It's like the second episode of the second season because I'm incredibly behind. But that's okay because I need the time between the episodes because they're all very stressful.
Yes, they are a bit. But this season is a bit more calm.
Yeah, he's just met Claire, who I believe is his love interest later on.
Yes.
We should talk about The Bear when I finished it, but I'm interested to know why... why are they building that kind of like romantic tension between Sid and Calm when they're very platonic, like that's not happening, but I feel like that there's like flashes of it. I don't know. Anyway, again, this is not about pancakes. They've not made pancakes on The Bear as far as I'm aware.
I think we should have a mini-sode to The Bear when you finish it. Well, you know, everyone else, we've said this before and we made the joke that everyone else would have moved on by then. But anyway, let's talk.
Everyone moved on to Boiling Point on BBC.
You've heard of a little thing called MasterChef.
Also, shout out to my husband, talking about MasterChef. My husband Steve, who I want to absolutely slag off right now on the pod, and I'm sorry, babe, I love you. But he was telling me that... We were talking the other day about something and he was like, I saw Greg Wallace say what you need to like lose weight.
You saw Greg Wallace say what?
He said, I saw a TikTok of Greg Wallace saying what you need to do to lose weight. Like he was doing that. I was like, Greg Wallace, the new
Mr. Motivator. We were saying it earnestly. Oh, Steve.
So every time he's like turned down, you know, a sweet treat or, you know, tried to be a bit healthy, I've been like, oh, you Greg Watterson. Sorry, babe. Love you.
We asked our readers, we asked our listeners, not only Vic's still cracking up at Greg Watterson, which toppings you like, but which recipes you liked. And then you guys had some great suggestions. And that's what we've used as a basis for the recipes that we are making.
Because some of them came up so many times.
Yes. Yeah, they did. Little Julia Tertian and her sour cream pancakes came up a few times. Who else? Mark Bittman on New York Times Cooking.
Yes. That came up a lot, I felt.
Yeah, people like that one a lot. A couple of crepe recipes came up, right? They were like Alison Roman and Gizzy Erskine, I think.
Gizzy Erskine, yeah.
And the other one that came up lots, I forget now.
The Sophie Dahl one came up.
Sophie Dahl, yes.
She did like, she has like lemon ricotta pancakes. Felicity Cloak has done this, obviously.
Yeah.
But what I was sad about in Felicity, we didn't do Felicity Cloak's recipe in the end, but when you usually in Felicity Cloak's best way to make whatever it is, she talks through her process, right? She's like, oh, I use this recipe and this recipe and this recipe, and that's how I got to this.
Yes.
But for the American pancakes one, that's not there. That her preamble isn't there. It's just her recipe.
Oh, she just decided to take it on her own shoulders. She was just feeling.
I don't need these guys.
Also, someone suggested Pancake Princess, which is a blog that I hadn't heard of.
No. What does she make?
Pancakes only. Only pancakes. in various forms. And a Heidi Swanson recipe came up as well, a BBC Good Food healthy one, not because it was healthy, but because they do something apparently with the egg whites that this reader listened really like.
Yeah, I can imagine that gets them fluffed up.
Yeah. There's too many innuendos in this.
Also, we added to the list.
Oh, yes.
My favourite recipe, which didn't come up from the listeners, so I don't know what that says about me or them.
But let's make some sweeping statements.
Mine, talking about the bear, actually, mine is Matty Matteson's pancake recipe, which is on the Vice website, which I've made a few times. I thought that this recipe was by Action Bronson when I told you about it, but actually when I looked it up, it's by Matty Matteson, who is in The Bear.
Yes,
he's the like guy that fixes everything.
Yeah, he's got a transformation coming up, he'll be glad to hear. And we also added my sister's favorite, which is John Turode of MasterChef. I remember, I think it's on the BBC Good Food website, and I think she always really rates that one. I think it's got bicarb of soda in it, but it's I would say that we should have made that one for her, but she's not really listened to our podcast lately, so she doesn't deserve to have any sort of she has foregone our podcast for My Therapist Ghosted Me, and she hasn't come back since. So Ursula, wow. Naming and shaming.
Wow, Ursula, thanks for that.
They are very funny, cool. To be fair. I don't know.
We are very funny.
Yes. They're a little bit more X-rated, I think, than we are. We need to do Cookbook Circle after hours to get Ursula back on board.
Okay. Well, you can become a Patreon member. I know. Maybe that's the kind of content that we'll put out there.
And Vic can talk about her big fluffy American boys all day long. All night long. So, Vic.
So, we divided and conquered in this conquer season. And we did two popular recipes each. So, I did Alison Roman, our old friend.
Wow, so she wasn't a crepe one. You did a Roman one. Oh my God, I'm silly. I'm silly.
It was just Gizzy that...
Just Gizzy. I mix up my bullshit, female chef.
Alison Roman, fellow podcaster. Welcome to the podcasting world, Alison Roman. I'm sure you'll need all the help you can get. That's sarcasm. Go listen to Alison Roman's podcast.
Have you listened to it?
It's probably great, but she's not. Have I listened to it? No, I'm listening to My Therapist Ghosted Me. No, I haven't listened yet, but I may.
I may.
Have you?
No, I may as well. I'm actually really bad at listening to podcasts outside of off menu. Okay, so
can confirm.
even including our own. You've done Alison Roman and
I did Mark Bittman as well. So I've done the New York Times Food Lads.
Yeah.
They're both on New York Times Food.
And
you have done
Julia Tertian's sour cream pancakes. Just because I really wanted to. I wanted to do a Julia Tertian recipe. Her book looks great.
Yeah, I feel like she... I'm surprised it's taken this long for us to do Julia Tertian on this recipe. Yeah. On this podcast.
On this recipe for success. And just because they were Vic's favourite, I've done the Matty Matteson fluffy pancakes from Vice.
Yeah, but maybe no longer.
Vice or Matty Matt?
Are they my favourite?
Oh, interesting. Yes, I've got things to say on this too. So, do you want to go first?
Should I go first?
Go with one of them and I'll go then after.
Okay. We planned this really well. Should I talk about Mark Bittman's? Because actually, these are very simple pancakes, but they came up a lot in people's favorite recipes. So he's like a staff writer for the New York Times, I think, recipe writer.
Dream job.
Honestly, dream job. And they are called Everyday Pancakes.
Yeah.
I can tell you that they do not include buttermilk.
Okay.
Which I thought is interesting because obviously both of these that I did are by American writers. Mm-hmm. Buttermilk seems to be the standard for these type of pancakes, yeah. But he just has normal milk. So the recipe is 2 cups of flour,
yeah.
2 teaspoons of baking powder.
Wow, that's a lot.
That's quite a lot, yeah. A quarter teaspoon salt, 1 tablespoon of sugar. And you mix all those together. And then in a separate bowl, you mix together 1.5 cups of milk.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't say what kind of milk. He's very throw caution to the wind in this. It seems to be like you just make it your own.
Well, when you're making them every day, so, there's no time for...
Well, exactly. So you mix your milk with 2 eggs, and then optional is 2 tablespoons of melted and cooled butter. So you mix all that together. Okay. And then you pour the wet into the dry. Mm-hmm. And he says, mix it till the flour is just moistened.
Okay.
He's like, lumps are okay. Yeah. Don't overmix. And then he's just like, put some oil or some butter in a pan.
Okay. I have thoughts on
or
this
a
too.
Griddle.
Yeah.
I have thoughts as well. On pans and stuff, and then make them as big as you like or as small as you like.
Okay.
Put them in the pan, cook them until the bubbles come up on the one side, flip them, cook them till they're brown, and then eat.
Right.
Or you can put them in the oven. He does say, I think he says that the first batch will need to be on a slightly warmer heat.
Yes.
Than the rest.
Okay.
Which Alison Roman has a way to stop that from happening, which is interesting. And they're good. They are very, they're much cakier mm-hmm. than I would probably like. I think I quite like what I've learned from this process, I like a fluffy, really fluffy, quite light, as you may have gathered from my thing. But these are quite dense.
Okay.
So I made some kind of smaller ones and some like larger ones. Mm-hmm. They all worked out fine. But yeah, very dense. They don't have, because they don't have buttermilk, they don't have that like nice tang.
Yes.
That the buttermilk
you
adds.
Need the tang.
I think you need the tang as well. So they worked very well. They were very easy to make.
Yeah.
I did add the butter, even though that's optional. And then he does say that when you're just moistening your flour, if the batter is too thick, you can add more milk.
Okay.
To make it thinner.
Yeah.
So up to two, not up to 2 more cups, but up to 2 cups total from 1.5. You can make them bigger or smaller, whereas Alison Roman, the other one that I did, she is very exact in how big each pancake is. So yeah, they were good. I liked them. They were popular in the house.
Well, did Steve and Marcus get equal votes on this?
Marcus didn't like any of them. He didn't like any pancakes. He I tried to give him a number throughout the couple of days that I was doing this, and he either just flat out refused or took a bite then spat it out.
Okay,
so
great. A discerning judge.
Don't know why that is. But Stephen really liked these ones. He liked that they were cakier and denser.
Interesting.
So yeah, so that's Mark Bittman. They're in the New York Times. Very easy. Would recommend. No chilling time.
No chilling time. Okay, yeah.
For me during making.
For you or the batter.
I think I did chill them for like a small amount of time because I had to go and do something.
Yeah.
But I presume that was fine.
Interesting.
I don't think it affected the last. But yeah, 2 teaspoons of baking powder is a lot.
Yes, that is a lot. And I would be interested, yeah. I mean, these Marty Matheson ones from Vice that I did have both baking powder and baking soda. So this one is definitely like a little bit more involved, as you know, because you've made it. It's not like wet.
Sorry about that.
No, it still was like, what are you talking, like 50, not even 15 minutes probably to bring it all together. You sift the flour, that's fine. He says no one wants lumpy pancakes, so this has to prevent that. Then you add some sugar to the flour mixture and you add in, that's just like 3 tablespoons for 2 cups of flour. I just got my cup measures out for this because, and for the other one, because you just have to give in at some point.
Yeah, same.
Add the baking powder, baking soda, a pinch of salt and sift all ingredients together in the bowl and set it aside. Then you melt some butter over medium low. Do not burn that. You let it cool in the pan. And then you separate eggs, 4 of them. And you whisk the egg whites until fluffy. And he says like a whiskey sour consistency, which I really did appreciate that little tip about how what consistency I was going for. And you add the buttermilk then to the egg whites, which I thought was interesting because then I thought I was going to kind of weigh down the egg whites because it's quite heavy, right?
Mm.
And then in the different bowl, you stir the yolks until they're blended. You add in sugar there. And then you slowly add the cooled melted butter into that egg yolk mixture. And then you whisk the yolk mixture with your butter and sugar into the egg white mixture, which has the egg whites and the buttermilk. And then you slowly whisk the flour mixture into that so that no clumps form. And you whisk it through to fluffy consistency and you refrigerate it for 10 minutes. And then he says, in a large skillet, generously spray nonstick spray, which I think this is actually right. Like, I think it should be maybe not butter that you're frying the pancakes in, because butter just burns and then your pancake burns. So I think that was one of my big takeaways.
But you don't want an oily pancake, so you don't want to use a lot of oil. No. Like, I ended up actually using spray.
Did you?
Cooking spray for both of them in the end, because, yeah, Roman says oil. Mark Bittman's like, do whatever you want. but yeah, like you're right, it burns.
Yeah.
Or the oil just kind of sits.
Yeah, it's just like a little bit to like moisten the pan, right? Like I use like a good nonstick frying pan. He says to spoon a cookie sized portion of batter into the pan. I found that this batter is quite it holds its shape. It's not that runny when you put it in the pan because it's chilled and the density or whatever. He says, don't press on them or fuck with them at all. Let them sit there and chill out and think about your special person. And then when you see the bubbles forming, then you flip them and plate them up with maple syrup and eat. So I made these I made these smaller than the Julia Turton ones because she says a bigger size and they spread a little bit. But they were good. I think they were good consistency. They were a little bit denser than I thought they would be. And I wondered if maybe I hadn't like fluffed the egg whites enough maybe or something. Because in theory, I got what he was going for there. But yeah, really good height and like, yeah, density and holds their shape really well. Small. I think I would prefer them a little bit bigger next time maybe. But yeah, they were good.
I feel like sometimes when they're too small, you feel like you're overpaying at some brunch restaurant, don't you? That's how I feel. Like you've gone into some fancy brunch restaurant, you've paid 15 quid for pancakes and 3 tiny little, like, you know.
Yeah, totally.
Boys.
No small boys, only big fluffy boys. Are you all hearing this? So yeah, it was interesting to do 2. I did them on the same day, so it was like interesting to do the 2 literally almost at the same time and directly compare them for flavor and texture and everything. So watch this space for my analysis while we return to Victoria for her.
And what did you eat them with? Did you do maple syrup?
I did maple syrup for those. Yeah, I did maple syrup for both of them actually. Yeah, they were good.
Yeah, same.
Okay. Roman.
You don't want to do tertian straight off?
I can do tertian straight off. Because
yeah, why don't you directly compare, because you did them at the same time. I did mine over a couple of days.
I think this was really interesting, as I've just said. Very, very interesting. Judy Turton's ones are way rather interesting. Way more straightforward, in that you just literally put the flour, sugar, baking soda. She doesn't use baking powder. She uses 2 teaspoons of baking soda to 1.5 cups of flour.
Oh, wow. We've got the whole
spectrum.
What's the word? Spectrum. I was trying to say stigma, and I was like, that's not the word.
No stigmas here. She uses a teaspoon of salt, which I, as opposed to Matthew Matheson's pinch of salt, and I think that was the changing factor for me. They had a really good salty, like, but not too salty thing. And like, this is definitely a personal preference, but I just do love anything like salt and savory, like that thing that I loved in Venice, the ice cream with the olive oil and the salt. Like, that's not everyone's cup of tea, but that is, I just find that those, that stuff really interesting. But yeah, so basically you put all your dry ingredients in that bowl, and then you add in 4 eggs and 2 cups of sour cream, and you stir it until it just comes.
Four eggs.
So it was like the batter the batter was slightly more liquid than the Matthew Matheson one. She does say to cook them in butter, a tablespoon of butter, which I felt like it ended up kind of burning my first couple, because bubbles weren't coming through. But anyway, that's just a lesson to learn. But then she says, pour the batter into the pan in like 1/4 cup increments to form pancakes that are roughly 4 inches. I didn't do 1/4 cup, but I just tried to guess what 4 inches were. And they kind of spread out a bit more than I thought. She does say, the minute the pancakes become too precise is the minute they become no fun, which, you know, is fair. And you flip them over, cook them until they're nicely browned. And then, yeah, she says to serve them with more butter and maple syrup. And for me, the flavor of these was way better. Like, I really, they have like such a different flavor. I didn't think that there would be that much variation, but I think it was the salt and maybe the sour cream. But I guess the sour cream and buttermilk are like vaguely similar in that they're kind of like a, slightly sour.
Yeah, they're sour, tangy.
Yeah, but these were like delicious in that I would have like happily just eaten them, and I did, on their own, some of them, because they were just like really, really tasty. So I think... Yeah. Out of the two for me, it was that Julia Turton one that I really, really liked.
Ooh.
And it almost like, I get it. I was like, okay, yeah, I could eat a stack of these different things. Yeah. So I think thanks to the guys that nominated her.
A convert.
Yeah, Julia Turton's the one for me.
Wow. Sorry. Available for free online. All these recipes I think you can get pretty much for free. Julia Turton's is on her Substack, right? But you can access it for free.
But you know, if you can, probably do support her, because she seems like she's a good gal. She has some notes in there about like what else you could do. You could sub in Greek yogurt or cottage cheese, add in blueberries or chocolate chips and so on. They were really, really good. I really liked them. Sorry to you and Matthew Matheson, but I'd be really interested for you to try them now, and you to see whether they convert you or not to that one as you go to.
Well,
if not Roman,
Matthew Matheson is dead to me. Because Alison Roman, I think, is my new victor of the pancake recipes.
The redemption continues.
I know, she's just a good baker.
She is a great baker, yeah.
Like that's what she's a pastry chef, and these are great. So these are also on New York Times Cooking. I don't know if they're anywhere else. I guess she probably wrote it for them. They're called Perfect Buttermilk Pancakes, and they are 2 cups of flour, 3 tablespoons of sugar, so a bit more sugar than Mark. She does 1.5 teaspoons of baking powder and 1.25 teaspoons of salt. Ooh. So you mix those together. And then the wet ingredients are 2.5 cups of buttermilk, which is quite a lot. And what she gets you to do is mix the dry ingredients, then make a well in the middle and put the buttermilk in, and then crack two large eggs into the well. Right. And then add 3 tablespoons of melted butter.
Okay.
And then she says, mix together from the outside in. No, the inside out.
Yes. Okay.
Until just combined. And then they can go in the fridge for up to an hour.
Okay. It's a bit like Yorkshire pudding.
She says they can. She doesn't seem
like it seems a bit like the method that you do for like a Yorkshire pudding or a Dutch baby.
Yeah. They smell so good. I don't know if it's like, and also I think I'll come to it, doesn't matter. So I did put them in the fridge for about an hour. But she doesn't say you have to do that. She says you can do that. So see what you think about that. So when you come to cook them, she says, put your skillet pan, preferably cast iron, but should be nonstick, on the hob on a low heat for 5 minutes to warm it up.
Okay.
And then when you're ready to cook, turn it up to like medium high and using a measuring cup. She's very precise about this. You have to use 1/3 of a cup for each pancake.
Okay.
Don't overcrowd the pan, et cetera, et cetera. So they're kind of smallish. And it's the same. Wait till the bubbles come, flip them, brown on the other side. These were so good. I really, really liked it. I thought the flavors were perfect. They were perfectly fluffy. Ooh. Like the batter had almost like risen and like aerated whilst it was in the fridge, like quite a lot. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. And maybe it was off the bottom. It was quite good buttermilk, I think. Just I got it from Marks and Spencer's, and it looked like it looked fancier than like the one you get in Sainsbury's. But I think that's a comment I want to have about pancakes generally. So I also tried to make some of these in a different pan, like a non-stick, just like a normal non-stick frying pan. And then I made them in my, I've got like a wide La Creuse, so it is cast iron. And they wouldn't brown up in the non-stick, but in the cast iron, they were like perfect. Apart from when you put butter in or too much oil, and it just, they don't cook right. But when I started using the spray, I'm doing like a little trigger finger spray thing. They were perfect, but in the other pan, they were crap and took way longer. So I just wonder if a lot of it is about like what you've got and your ingredients and your cookware, about how you get like all the good things that you need.
Maybe like gas or electric hob as well. That probably... Because it is harder to regulate the heat a little bit on the gas ones. I mean, more so on electric, but I definitely did like over cook mine a little bit at the start with that. But I blame the butter rather than the gas, I think there. But I think it's really interesting the flavor differences in them. Like, that was because I just thought pancakes are just kind of like bready, right? Like there's not how much variation can there be there, but having those like tertian ones as well as the Matty Matheson ones, then it's like it renewed my faith.
Wow. What about the pancakes?
Oh, sorry, the pancakes. But you could actually have like tasty pancakes. So I think maybe I've just been eating the wrong ones, you know.
And easy, right? So if you want to make them for others or another time.
But I still feel...
You're not going to have to...
I just feel like I need convincing on the toppings, that's all. I want to hear interesting ones. Yeah. I bet tahini would be nice with some other stuff. Obviously, that's a bit claggy too, but like, maybe some like creme fraiche and tahini.
What about some kind of like salted ricotta situation with some like stone fruit or something.
Yeah, I think if you like poach some fruit or something so that you get a bit of like juiciness going on, that would probably be really good too. So you are converted to Alison Roman.
I am Alison Roman until I try the Tertian ones. The Bitmon ones were good as well. The Stephen preferred them. Marcus didn't prefer either. Yeah, he preferred them cakier, denser. But also, I did them on different days, so it wasn't a direct comparison. So I can't, as in, like, you know, hunger levels may have been different, etc. But
yeah,
I loved the Alison Roman ones. I was a bit like you with the Julia Tertian ones. I was like just eating them plain, like the ones that have been discarded that I couldn't take a photo of.
I just took photos of them plain, by the way, because I thought that would be best for a direct comparison.
Yeah.
They're gonna look.
I did a little bit of maple syrup on mine just to.
You can be the first one on the grid. Okay, so we're saying Tertian and Roman leaders. You're going to go away and cook the Tertian ones at some point. I'll go away and cook the Roman ones at some point, and we'll come back and report to everyone on which.
We'll come back and report.
Our listeners could do it.
All in all, yes, exactly. Great pancake recipes that you can use. If you don't have or can't get buttermilk, that Mark Bittman one is great.
Yeah.
And produces that same like light, fluffy
result
pancake that would be impressive with just milk. And I'm sure you could use, obviously it needs eggs, but I'm sure you could use like plant-based milk or different milks if you wanted to.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Pancake Watch has concluded for now. We'll be back with the sequel. But yeah,
Well, we probably should do crepes. So I guess if we've done this one, we should do crepes or something. Anna's face is like, no, I don't care. I don't really want to do crepes. Well, wait till pancake day and just do it as a little mini.
Oh, sorry. I just flashed a leg up it.
Wow. I thought I'm not doing after hours just lit. Yeah.
I needed to stretch out my leg, so I just swung it over the camera. Sorry.
What about our spin-off show where we talk about cookware in a sexy way, and it's called Only Pants?
Wow. How are you going to talk? Give us a little preview then, Vicks. With his smooth on coating. I'm not sure I should be on this show. That was my audition and it went really badly.
Be careful not to touch the hot handles. Come on, too hot to handle. I don't know. But I think it could work.
Okay. Yes, we'll workshop it. I think OnlyFans is an area that we should explore. There's a lot of money to be made. Someone was reading last week that some people make like 200k a month on OnlyFans.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Look, I'm just saying. We're looking to diversify.
I think OnlyPans could make us that.
Yeah, we could do legitimate reviews. It's useful and it's arousing.
You know, a rising basket. That's a thing, right?
It's not a very common Venn diagram, is it? Useful and arousing. But my God, we'll be right there in the middle.
Well, people, a lot of people have a foot thing, and feet are very useful.
Okay, we should.
Wow.
Well, yeah, we'll let you guys know when that launches so you can do them. Nice to subscribe. Yes, your favorite.
You should subscribe to our Patreon where we don't get naked.
No, not yet, but maybe when we get really desperate. Yes, let us know. Yeah, subscribe to our Patreon. Let us know your favorite pancake toppings and if you've made the Tertian and Roman recipes and which one is your favorite. Do God's work. God's
come. Who do you think would win in a fight?
Roman all day long.
Yeah.
I don't know much about Julia Tertian. Maybe we should maybe we should do a Julia Tertian book. She has that book, yeah. Like small, what's it called? Small Victories. Her first solo cookbook.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. She's also the co-writer on that book that I have in Bibi's Kitchen.
Oh, yeah.
Is she? About East African food.
Wow. Yeah, let's add her to the list.
Put her on the list. The long old list. Anyway,
we're gonna go now.
Pancakes. Roman, but we'll put the links in the show notes.
Yeah.
And thanks for listening. And just keep suggesting things for these ultimate episodes because they're really fun.
They are very fun. Make me feel like some sort of kind of actual professional food person testing things in my tiny, tiny test kitchen. I've realized that my panel of one is maybe too small. I need to be taking them out to more people. So it's just, I'm being a bit of a dictator, really.
I mean, you know, the people want to know what you think, not what random people on the street think.
Yeah, that's true. Just like you discounted Steve's opinion.
I didn't discount it. I told you what it was. I just say, I'm not Greg Wallace thinks.
Oh, my God. Do you think Greg Wallace has, like, a cookbook on, like, losing weight? I bet he does.
Oh, I bet he does.
Losing weight and marrying a woman third of your age.
Oh, is that what he's done?
I think he's with you.
I knew that about him.
I think he's with you.
Oh no, maybe that's what Steve wants to do. He didn't tell me about that part of the TikTok.
Sorry, we're gonna go now. Vic's crying.
I mean, if Steve married someone a third of his age, that might be illegal.
Barely legal.
No, not even barely. He's not that old. Anyway, bye.
Well, that's the only time. Love you. Bye. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Cookbook Circle. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast and leave us a review as it helps others to find us and enjoy us. You can see how the recipes from this episode turned out on our Instagram at Cookbook Circle, where you can also get in touch with us, let us know your thoughts, feedback, ideas for episodes, whatever you like. We really love to hear from all of you. So we'll see you next time. Bye. Bye.